Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Hammy, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host, the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 525 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I'm joined via Skype by actor Becca McCoy, and we're going to talk about her turn on stage as two characters in As You Like It, done by Jobsite Theater down in Tampa. So we're going to get into a conversation just after you guessed it, these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Well, why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Bad credit? No credit? High interest credit cards? Don't work from home. Working from home is for suckers. Go out there with headshot in hand. Audition. Book gigs. It'll be time well spent. At least you'll be paying the rent.
Here's how.
Well, welcome, IDSers. I'm talking with my actor pal, Becca McCoy, and she's, what are you up to now? A little Shakespeare?
A little Shakespeare. I'm doing As You Like It over at Jobsite Theater in Tampa.
Okay. So how's it going, and who are you doing, and which character, and how are things going?
Excellent. It's really great. It's been a fantastic experience. It's my first show with Jobsite, and I am playing both of the Dukes. Mm. So traditionally, those are men, and this is a contemporary adaptation, not adaptation in terms of changing the lyrics, but set in contemporary Tampa. Mm-hmm. And both of the Dukes are queens and played as female. And so I got the opportunity to create these two sisters that are really two sides of the same coin. You know, they're the kind of the black and the white of the yin yang. They're the extreme opposites of each other. And it was a really satisfying experience because I was the only actor playing both of them, that I was in agreement with myself about the shared history that they have. You know, what caused their rift, what causes their psychological state in the moment that we are seeing them in the play. I haven't had a chance to do that in a long time, to really craft two distinct human beings and flip back and forth between them throughout the show. It's kind of exceeded my expectations.
So what's it like? I mean, at least you know you get to get along well with the other actor.
Indeed.
But so what is your trigger? For each character, do you have is it all mental, or do you have like a physical stance or something that helps you differentiate
no,
in your own
yeah,
mind?
No, yeah, it's so fast in a couple of spots that I had to lock into some physical triggers. They are the costume designer, Brittany, did a really great job of helping me, differentiate them to the extreme. They are costumed very, very differently. And I have an amazing team helping with quick changes so I can get out there really fast. Because it's contemporary and we've got this one character who has usurped a kingdom from the other, the evil quote evil sister is packing, so I have a gun, and that helps so much. It's on a shoulder holster, and it's just the weight of it. It's a real deal prop gun, but it's a 9mm metal. It's heavy. It's, you know, it's there. Mm-hmm. It did a lot for the world of the play of, you know, just the presence of that gun heightening the tension. And so when I put that on, you can, you know, it just, it changes things. So one sister is very tense. She's really cagey. So I have, physical things to do, wall push-ups and, you know, some breathing things, backstage before I launch out there. The other one is the complete opposite. She's so peaceful. She's a pacifist. She's, you know, more cerebral. And so it's a lot of like rolling out the shoulders and getting all of that tension away. I'm in jeans and boots. I stick my hands in my pockets. I, you know, just kind of saunter around back there and again, breathe in a different way and then lock out into that one. But it's really fun to be able to flip back and forth and have created these two, very distinct women who are, you know, meant to be twins. So there's, so there's the advantage of not feeling like they have to change, you know, vocal changes are fairly subtle. The physical changes are what's very, very strong. And so these two women are distinct, but decidedly related.
So it sort of sounds like the show is also backstage while you're getting in between the two,
exactly.
sisters.
So, yes.
So,
yes.
Has that been your challenge in doing these roles, is the finding the physicalness of it?
Yeah, I think so. In fact, we had a text coach, helping out Giles Davies, who's tremendous. He's a company member, Cincinnati Shakes, I believe. But he splits his time between there and Tampa. And he was there to assist us with text interpretation. And I took advantage of him for how brilliant he is physically. He creates these incredible physical characters. I saw him do Puck many years ago. And he's just truly kind of, he could be an amphibian. He's very animal in the way that he approaches his the physicality of his characters. And so I had a session working with him, and his suggestions helped me unlock what really worked for Frederick in particular. Frederick is the usurping aunt. So she's the one that that has a gun. She's paranoid. She's cagey. And that's, you know, it's an interesting thing about playing a villain in a Shakespeare comedy. A lot of her mentality is very similar to Iago. You know, she's irrational. She's paranoid. She, makes these huge, huge, drastic choices that impact the trajectory for the protagonist, Rosalind, based on, things that just simply aren't true. But without all of the meat of something like Iago, you know, I have, you know, maybe 20 lines to accomplish this huge, shift on behalf of the protagonist. And so it's really there, it has, you have to know who these people are through physicality and costume within seconds of seeing them. So yeah, I think the physical differentiation was the biggest challenge. Textually, it's not challenging. They're, both of them are very clear. I do have as senior, this, the other, the sister that has been usurped and is in the Forest of Arden. I have the really lovely set speech, that starts out, "Now my co-mates and brothers in exile." And it includes the line, "Sweet are the uses of adversity," and, talking about, you know, when we are living outside of the scrutiny of the public court and here out in the woods, we can find tongues in trees, books in the running brooks. So I still also get a really lovely, 1-minute set speech.
Outstanding. Outstanding. So do you get to pull back on any of your knowledge you learned from our good friend Bill Homewood on the Stelco?
I know, yes. And John Barton, of course. Mm-hmm. It's incredible how so much of that experience was, now at this point, it was, my math is not good, 14, 15 years ago.
Mm. We don't need to be exact.
I know, right? but it's amazing how much of that has just been marinating over the years, and that I am better at executing what I learned then now than I was immediately after. And maybe some of that is because of other life changes, that right. Being a mom, has made me a different person. And that just general life maturity and experience on stage and, all of these things that I've accumulated over time. But the things that I learned in that, BATA have just sort of been marinating, and I'm much happier with my work in this show than I was in my previous two full production Shakespeare outings. A lot less precious, not doing a better job of making it real and not being precious about the verse, and yet right. The verse still is there and is such a potent guide. I literally, particularly for actually for both of them, when they flip into verse, when you just do the ba-dum 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 and look at where those stresses land, it gives you the whole map that you need for these people. But then the next step is kind of throwing that away
right.
and interpreting it like you would a contemporary piece. And I think that I've done a better job of that this go round. And I don't know, I think maybe that's just time and maturity and experience, but, a lot of the things that I learned 15 years ago are better executed now than they were immediately following the program.
Well, cool. So how can we get tickets to see you?
It is through Jobsite Theater, and they are Jobsite Theater spelled with an ER.org, and they are the resident theater company at the Straz Center in Tampa. So there's a link from my website as well as just going to jobsitetheater.org. The artistic director, David Jenkins, is such a cool dude, and there's a very proud resident of Tampa. So one of the other local shout outs besides just setting the play in modern day Tampa is we have a soundtrack from a local independent record label. So you can also download the 16 track album. And there was an original song written for the wedding sequence at the end, but all of the music, between scene shifts and pre-show and intermission are all from this indie label based out of Tampa.
Well, outstanding. Now, I was remiss. How long does this run?
Until February 5th. And so we've got plenty this weekend and then two more weekends. And Jobsite received a grant from the Community Foundation of Tampa Bay that has allowed for two student matinees every week of the run in addition to the public performances. So we'll also be serving several hundred school children, middle and high school age in Tampa, thanks to that grant.
Oh, outstanding. Outstanding. So, of course, I'll have links to that on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Well, thanks, Becca.
Thank you.
Thank you.
when guests can't appear in studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the download Skype button. Go ahead. Join in the fun.
Well, that's it. I'd like to thank actor Becca McCoy for stopping by today via Skype to chat about As You Like It and Things Shakespeare at Jobside Theater. So, again, ticket information that we discuss in the body of the podcast will be found on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Then please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282 or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com, or follow the show on Twitter at @inexplicableds, @ inexplicable D S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for our show via our Twitter feed. So next week, who knows, right? Kind of the standard operating procedure for the Inexplicable Dumb Show. So I'm sure it'll be a good week, and we won't know what we're going to get to until we get there. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnitude. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. .com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.